Recently, I read a book in the form of a journal. It gave an insight into a young Syrian man called Samer, who was trying to live and do the right thing in response to the Syrian conflict. He lived in Raqqa in eastern Syria and enjoyed life there until Islamic State came along in 2014 and took control of the city. He and a few friends got involved in some resistance to IS, but eventually Samer had to get out and leave behind his family and the city he loved. The journal tells the story of his thoughts and of his travels and his desire for peace and his return to his family. In 2014-15, he'd lost everything, his youth, his education, and any chance of employment or social life. Samer concluded his book with these words, "All we are left with is hope. Hope that our country will rebuild itself." Hope is a good and positive thing. It's what helped to keep Samer going at a very difficult time, in a very difficult situation. I'm aware of a hope story about a group of young people in a rundown area who were given hope when a businessman offered to sponsor some further education for them. If we still have hope when things are confusing or difficult, then we still have something worth having and worth holding on to. Someone has said this: man can live for 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes or thereabouts without air, but only 4 seconds without hope. Hope can keep a person going in some of the most challenging times in life. In verse 13 of Romans 15, we read these words: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Hope is the theme of the verses we read earlier from Romans 15, and certainly the theme of verse 13, the verse I want us to spend some moments on tonight. But let me begin by saying this: biblical hope is not pie in the sky kind of hope. Biblical hope is not hope so kind of hope. While the English word hope may have a negative side to it, biblical hope is always, always positive. It was following some teaching on Christian conduct that Paul, in Romans 15, concludes that early section on a note of hope. May the God of hope. Some things I want us to notice from this verse. First, what God is like. Well, really, it's in black and white, so to speak, as the verse begins. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. God, the God in whose presence we are met, the God we worship, is a God of hope. God is not just a God of patience and peace and power and love. God is not just a God of holiness and faithfulness and grace. but also a God of hope. Early on in the book of Genesis, we read of God making man or creating mankind. And we read there of God and man walking in harmony with each other. We might say everything in the garden was rosy to begin with. Then we read of Adam and Eve's disobedience or sin, or in other words, their fallout of harmony with God. And their disobedience and sin, of course, has been translated to us all, which means that all of us born of Adam and Eve enter this world out of step, out of harmony, out of fellowship with God. We arrive in this world not madly in love with God, but badly out of step with Him. In and of ourselves, our relationship with God is just not as He intended it to be. In going our own way and doing our own thing, we spoiled the relationship God had planned for us. But then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we read of God's intention of a rescue plan that would open the way back to friendship with Him. That rescue plan, as we know, came to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And by faith in Him and in what He has done by His cross and by His resurrection, we can be gloriously restored to God, be right with God again, and be at peace with Him. God is a God of hope. When all God had to do was leave us in our disobedience and sin, when all God had to do was forget about us, He did the very opposite. He had a plan to meet us at the point of our need, a plan to open a door for us, to know Him and enter in to His blessings. God is a God of hope. Didn't Jesus demonstrate this for us during His earthly ministry? He gave hope to fishermen and to tax collectors. He gave hope to folk troubled in mind. He gave hope to people who were dogged by illness. He gave hope to a woman at a well one day who seemed not to be able to find hope in the multiple human relationships she had had. And Jesus still gives hope, hope that is certain, hope that is real, as we trust Him for who He is and as we accept in our hearts what He has done for us. How do you and I see God tonight? How do we see God this evening? Do we see Him as a God of doom and gloom, as some events and actions in the world might suggest? Do we see God as someone who only sometimes gets things right, but often gets things wrong? Or do we see God, as Paul speaks of Him here in Romans 15, as a God of hope, one in whom we are prepared to put our faith, one we are prepared to commit our lives and our circumstances to, even in times when it may be difficult for us to do that? God is a God of hope. In the midst of all of life's troubles and trials and failures, we must remember that all is not lost so long as we keep God in the frame, so long as we keep Him in view. In this verse, Romans 15, verse 13, we see what God is like. He is a God of hope. Yes, He is a God of patience and peace and power, faithfulness, grace, and love, but also a God of hope, one who gives hope to His people in the midst of trials and difficulties, one who gives hope to sinners who seek His forgiveness and His help. And God doesn't only give hope for this life, but hope for the life to come. Shortly before Jesus left this world to return to his Father's side, he said that he would come again and bring all his people of all time to be with him, to be where he is, in his nearer presence. God is a God of hope. Not only do we notice in this verse what God is like, we notice too what God does. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. This is fairly straightforward, isn't it? God gives joy and peace. Just a few weeks ago, we were celebrating the birth of Jesus. And we can't read any of the relevant passages in Matthew and Luke and not notice the joy and peace sounding out in those passages. The angel to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. And of course, we speak of him at Christmas time as the Prince of Peace. The joy Paul has in mind here, friends, is not some warm, fluffy feeling inside, a feeling that some new gadget might give us or that some new friendship might give us. Such joy can lack depth, and be short-sighted, short-lived. The joy Paul has in mind here is really contentment. That's the kind of joy Paul has in mind here, contentment. A joy that is God-given as we acknowledge him, as we trust him, as we leave our lives and our cares with him. I remember visiting a man a few years ago, a man that I went to school with and then worked with in Kilkeel. He had an illness he wasn't going to recover from. Humanly speaking, he had a good business and was doing well in life until illness struck or illness got the better of him. I knew he was a Christian, and I asked him how he felt about his situation. He was a relatively young man at the time. He said this, "I'm not happy with what's happening to me, but I'm content in the Lord," and he smiled. What God does, he gives joy in the form of contentment within, even when things are difficult and demanding and challenging for us. He also gives peace. And the main peace that God gives is between us and himself. And how does a person come into God's peace or have peace with God? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul makes this point simply and clearly back at the start of Romans 5, doesn't he? He says there that through faith in Jesus and in what he has done, we have peace with God. What God is like, he is a God of hope. What God does, he gives joy and peace. Third, how God does it. How does the God of hope, the God who gives joy and peace, do it? He does it as we trust in him. Look at the verse again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Two of the most precious things a person can have in life, joy and peace, are not things we have to save up for, nor are they things we can somehow work towards, nor can other people pass them on to us, or that we can obtain in some other way. Two of the most precious things a person can have in life joy and peace. They come to us. They belong to us. They are ours as we trust in God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Connecting with God, a relationship with God, is on the basis of trust. For example, we trust God for our daily needs. We trust God to hear our prayers. We trust God to hold this world together. We trust God for many other things in the journey of life. Friends, we can trust God for our joy and our peace. And we can trust Him to give us these in good measure, because Paul expects the God of hope to fill His people with joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. But we should notice, of course, that the Holy Spirit is also involved here. There's no growth or development in the Christian life without the involvement and without the activity of the Holy Spirit. If you like, He makes God's joy real in the lives of believers, and He affirms God's peace in our hearts. Let me put it this way. Our part is to trust God as He speaks to us from His Word and leads in our lives. God's part is to minister to us by His Holy Spirit. Isn't it quite something that God gives us, if you like, a part to play in His plans for us? Our part is to step out in faith with Him. Your part and mine is to trust. And that's God's invitation, and that's God's call to us, to trust in Him. I watched a TV program recently in which a rescue helicopter was sent out to lift a climber who had got into trouble on the mountains. The injured person was not all that keen about leaving the ground on a stretcher that was going to swing and sway quite a bit before it would reach the helicopter. Only after the rescue crew said something like, "Trust us, we've done this hundreds of times," only then did the injured man calm down and trust his life into the hands of his rescuers. God says, "Trust me. Trust me." And while He invites us or calls us to trust Him, He at the same time helps us to do this by the activity of His Spirit. What God is like? He is the God of hope. What God does, He gives joy and peace. How God does it? As we trust Him, and by the activity of His Spirit in our lives. Believing friend, I don't know how things are with you these days, or how easy or tough you are finding life in the Christian way. I know how it is for some of you because I've been sharing with you in your homes. But I don't know how it is with all of you. Perhaps not everything in the garden is rosy. Maybe you're trying to deal with a personal matter, or with a family difficulty, or a financial problem, or some other difficulty. Can I encourage you? I want to encourage you to turn your thoughts and attention to the God in whose presence we are met, to the God we worship, who is and who always will be a God of hope. He is in the business of giving joy and peace, whatever our circumstances might be, and He does this as we trust Him. And by the work of His Spirit, whom he sent into our hearts as we believe. But perhaps you're here and you're not there yet. Maybe you're not aware of a moment or a time in your life when you acknowledge God as your Creator and Father and accepted His Son as your Savior. Please don't think that God wants to take joy out of your life. He's in the business of doing the very opposite, that of filling you with joy and peace. Yes, in the valleys of life, as well as on the mountaintop, the question is, will you trust Him? Will we trust Him? And He won't ask you to do this by yourself. God helps us in our turning, and He helps us in our trusting by His Spirit, whom He generously sends towards us and to us. God, the true and living God, is a God of hope, one who gives joy and peace. How does He do it? He does it as we trust Him. Helped in all of this by His Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.